in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together. B&E. Wednesday. No Bucky, though. Bucky out the rest of the week. He's off to Pennsylvania. Flew out early this morning. Told us he was going to get to the airport by 4 a.m. for a 6 o'clock flight. Hopefully that went without hassle for the Buck as he's heading to see his family. Hadn't been back to Pennsylvania in 3 years now, so he was eager to get back and see his brothers and sisters and enjoy some time. So Buck will be back later. Isaiah Collier is here, and we've got a great guest lineup. We're talking about the Longhorns in the Horn Top 20 Countdown. They come in at number 18 as we had Louisiana at 20, Indiana yesterday, today Texas. Is that about right for you or too high, too low? We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll talk to Quan Cosby about it. On the way to the timeout, we were talking about Philip Rivers announcing or at least letting it known that he's keeping himself in shape, maybe not fully retired yet. That led to a conversation about, is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? Somebody texted and says Rivers is not a Hall of Famer. There was never a point where people talked about him as a top five quarterback. The numbers no longer matter in today's NFL. Everyone is going to put up stupid numbers, not a Hall of Famer. Well, I think that's kind of along my line of thinking typically, because I'm usually the defender of the Hall of Fame. I'm not big on the Hall of Very Good. I'm big on the Hall of Fame. You know, the best, put the best of the best. But it's going to be hard for a you're talking about a guy in Philip Rivers, 63,400 passing yards, threw for 421 touchdowns, and half of those and like only 200 interceptions. I just think he played in the shadow of Brady and Manning for so long in his own conference. But I see the point. He never got to a Super Bowl. He never even played in a Super Bowl as a quarterback, which is typically the argument. But he does have the numbers. I mean, there are people that debate whether Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer, but he's got the numbers and two Super Bowl MVPs. But yet he also had a bunch of mediocre seasons in there, too. Say, where are you on Philip Rivers? You think he's in to Canton at some point? I mean, probably not first ballot, but along the way, Philip Rivers likely gets in.
Yeah, I think he's in, especially with that walkie release that he had, man. For him to throw over, 63,000 yards with that type of release?
That's a good point.
Pretty remarkable. So, yeah, I'll put Philip in. And all those damn kids, too. Come on now.
Yeah. Which one would that'd be a big, he'd need a lot of tickets at his Hall of Fame ceremony. I think that's fair to say, too. But, yeah, so I think sometime, but you know, that's always a good debate of who's a Hall of Famer and who's not. But, you know, I'll give you a comparison. You know who is in the Hall of Fame who Philip Rivers' numbers dwarf? And that's Dan Fouts, right? Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame. He was the greatest Chargers quarterback ever before Philip Rivers. I mean, he's got 20,000 more yards passing than Dan Fouts. And I know it's a different era, and Dan Fouts really, you know, helped usher in the passing era of football with Eric Coryell and that passing game. But, you know, the numbers are pretty overwhelming for Philip Rivers. And, you know, he locked horns with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning many times in the postseason and could never get past it. But either way, I think he'll end up there. But will he end up playing football this year becomes the question, because the conversation on hot or not was he's keeping himself in shape, and if quarterback injuries mount, could we see Philip Rivers back? We'll continue that conversation. Quan Cosby in a moment. First, your trending topics. Headlines on a busy Wednesday morning. Top Gun, Lawn and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And start with baseball. What a ball game last night. In a playoff atmosphere in Los Angeles as the Houston Astros made their long-awaited return to Dodger Stadium, full of drama and tension last night. Now, this is the first game the Astros have played in Dodger Stadium with fans in attendance since that 2007 World Series. And, of course, the Astros then, with the cheating scandal, the sign-stealing scandal, so the fans were out in force, 52,000 strong last night. And in a twist of fate, Lance McCullers, who started Game 7 of that World Series at Dodger Stadium that the Astros won, was outstanding last night. And he and three relievers combined on a five-hit shutout as Houston got the win 3-0. Game 2 of that quick series tonight in L.A. with Max Scherzer making his Dodger debut. That one should be hype as well. Rangers got lost to the Angels last night. 11-3. NBA, the exodus continues out of San Antonio as it appears the full rebuild is on for the Spurs. Spurs have completed a sign-and-trade deal that sends their leading scorer from last season, DeMar DeRozan, to the Chicago Bulls for Thaddeus Young, Al-Farouq Aminu, future first-round pick, and two future second-round selections. DeRozan's departure follows Rudy Gay, who signed with Utah, Patty Mills, who inked a deal with Brooklyn. Lakers continue their free agent acquisitions. They're on a spending spree right now. Of course, the Lakers acquired Russell Westbrook just before free agency began. They've also now added 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony. They've also signed Kendrick Nunn, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, and Malik Monk. Is that enough? Over 48 hours? Golden State Warriors have re-upped their superstar guard, Steph Curry. They agree on a new four-year, $215 million mega contract. Big day for Team USA at the Olympics in Tokyo. U.S. reaches the semifinals in baseball, women's volleyball, and women's basketball with wins. Track and field, another thriller. Now, this time on the women's side in the 400-meter hurdles, Sydney McLaughlin of the United States edged out her fellow American and 2016 gold medalist Dalia Muhammad to win the gold and break her own world record in the process. U.S. medal count now stands at 76-25 of the gold variety. And ugly story from the NFL. Minnesota Vikings have released the former TCU Horned Frog Jeff Gladney. He was their 2020 first-round draft pick. The former TCU star was indicted on felony domestic violence charges in Dallas earlier this week, and the Vikings have said adios.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
It's hot, but nothing burns hotter than the love for our customers. Come to Top Gun this month and maybe win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
They absolutely will. Brandon Mars and his great team there at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment bringing you the headlines. Yeah, that, I mean, if you look for compelling things, they are, where are you on track and field? Because the men's and the women's 400-meter hurdle events have been as compelling as any events in Tokyo so far. I mean, the men we talked about were the top six finishers, broke the Olympic record. The top two set new world records, and it was an eyelash finish. And then on the women's side, the two Americans went, you know, it was a nose-to-nose finish, and both set world records as well. Track and field has been pretty hot so far.
Yo, these men and women are chopping,
man,
out there.
It's like, unbelievable.
The 400 hurdles, that's incredible. Like, doing the 400 in itself's already hard, but with hurdles and just how they've just been shattering records, yeah, these athletes are incredible in Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah, that young Texas A&M runner that won the 800 meters on the women's side, won the gold medal. What a treat she was. Delightful in her post game, just so, you know, exuberant for the win. And the young lady that just won the 400-meter hurdles, 21 years old, one of the best track and field athletes in the world. She goes to the University of Kentucky in the SEC as well. Hey, can we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline? He is one of our favorite people to talk anything with, certainly football and Longhorn football. He is Quan Cosby, a lifetime Longhorn and national champion at Texas. Quan, how are you, bud?
What's up, EZ? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, man. Hey, you were in the league when Phillip Rivers was playing, and you were in that same division. You think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
Man, I was listening to you guys, and certainly not a first ballot, but you know how people are, you know, with the numbers and the fact that I think a good number of the votes come from the media, who also likes numbers. I think he's going to eventually get in. Now, 15 years from now, when you realize that Pat Mahomes is close to his numbers,
and a lot less years,
they may reevaluate it. But I mean, nothing they can do at that point. But yeah, no, I think he will because his numbers are great. No Super Bowl appearance. Oh man, if I'm biased and I'm talking about me, I probably wouldn't put him in because of that. But he has balled out, so I think he's going to get it.
Yeah, you were in that division for a while with the Broncos and those clashes with the Chargers. He's one of those guys that fans love to hate because he's just so emotional and he kind of crybaby sometimes. But he was always a tough out when you had to face Phillip Rivers and those Chargers. Hey, Quan, your thoughts on a couple things. Now, you were at an event in Tyler last Thursday, and an award was given to the Board of Regents Chairman Kevin Eltife, and a lot of UT. Crystal Conti was there. I believe Jay Hartzell was there. You were there. Give us your thought on the vibe of that night. I mean, it had been announced, and you know the Regents meeting was the next day to rubber stamp the move to the SEC. In that, you know, room full of Longhorns and the most powerful people at UT, what was the mood? What was the feel about this move to the Southeastern Conference?
Dude, you know what? And I love my Longhorns, faithful, and all the above. We can be a little golf clap-ish, kind of country club-ish at times, and yeah, didn't feel that night. Which it's insane the amount of stuff that Tyrone Hilltop have done for his hometown, Tyler, developing so many things, medical center and all the above. And they just, that's why he got the award, because he's done so much. And then he started talking a lot about the move and clearly the big news. And it was cool because I think ESPN quoted it. You go back to, he was semi-involved when A&M left. And the Big 12 went in kind of lecturing them about the move and how it wasn't right, and even for the state of Texas, similar to what you're seeing on the Texas front. And he said before he left, even as a young kind of rookie senator, he told them, dude, I'm a Longhorn through and through. I want this rivalry game to be here, but do what's best for Texas A&M. And he kind of ended his speech with, if you think about what's going on right now, I'm taking my own advice. And I thought that was really cool. And he's like, yo, I'm doing what's best for the University of Texas. They're getting, poor Jay Harsher got hammered pretty good with legislators, you know, throwing, you know, shots at him. But at the end of the day, that's what he said. And he also, on a, you know, him and I had a conversation. He talked a little bit about other regions calling him from the different schools. And he said, it's actually, the conversations have been pretty cordial. And he said, I hear y'all, I appreciate it, but you're about 4 years too late. And we've alluded to that. We've talked a lot about this being in the making. You say it all the time, E. You knew the Big 12 was probably going away at some point, and that's ultimately what he said. He's like, different moves has been made for the last few years of kind of pushed them to where we are. So just really good conversation. So dang on reassuring that he's leading the way, and he's all over.
Yeah, that's interesting. We've talked a lot about Jay Hartzell. Quan Cosby is with us. I mean, he's only been on the post for a little over a year and has already had so much impact. And I thought he handled himself very well at the Capitol this week. I mean, it was a 6.5 hour long session. As you talked about, they didn't have a, you know, they weren't in session or special session when A&M left. So there wasn't a hearing at the Capitol when that went down, but there was a push to try to keep them and prevent them from leaving. But, you know, for Jay Hartzell, who you've told us before here on the show, you were friendly with and knew before he became the president, and now he's the president of your university. He just seems like a pretty, put your head down and don't say a lot, but get a lot done type of leader. And we've seen that in the last year with all the changes and the things in the direction he's taking the university and the athletic department.
Dude, it's unreal what he's been, since he, from interim to being named the head guy, what he's been dealing with, man. It's insane between COVID and, you know, the eye stuff and now realignment. I'm like, man, I'm like, at some point he's going to have to be able to, he needs to come up and breathe. I hope he's taking a vacation after that last little deal at the Capitol. But, again, those two guys, L-Type and Marshall, their leadership, it's been huge. Even, you know, it was pretty interesting. You know, CDC never lost for words. He talked about it, too. He said he don't know where he would be or where we would be if it wasn't for those two guys. Even going back to the hiring of Sark, he said Jay and L-Type came to him and said, hey, we have a guy. And CDC Wade was like, hold on, I thought that was my job. But just kind of joking and all the above, but just giving them so much credit for their leadership, and I couldn't agree more.
Hey, Quan Cosby is with us on a, that's the macro stuff. On the micro stuff, football begins later in the week as the team reports back and begins, you know, their work towards the season. 31 days away now, Quan. What's been your vibe and what are you feeling about this group? You know, what should the expectation be? We have a number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. What's your expectation for this group in 2021?
Well, my expectation has certainly been, it's funny because all things have happened now. If you're one of the top two dogs, and you can't help but put Iowa State in there because they were in the Big 12 championship last year, but Texas is supposed to be one of the top two dogs. And now you add the move to the SEC with Oklahoma, and if you are, you better be ready to play. And we always, as Longhorns, knew we had a target on our back. We did. That brand, the name, just a flagship, a blue blood. But this year it's going to be a little bit different. You have the TCUs of the world who Jared Patterson always tells them, hey, they didn't recruit you. Go play your best. Go prove them wrong. You have Bryce, you know, I think Bryce Young, who said, you know, five-star players versus five-star culture. Well, they're going to get everybody's best. Everybody they play is going to be. It's almost, I was talking to some buddies, I said, they're actually going to get a real good preview of what playing in the SEC is like. You cannot breathe. You have to go out and take care of business every single week. They're going to have to do that. But at the end of the day, I think they have the guys to do it. And now I equally think they have the coaching staff to do it. Texas have always had players. If you look at their roster, and even Tom Herman, sure, he didn't get it done on game day. I think he did pretty good. And then, what you know, Sark and the staff attacking the transfer portal, they have the players. Now it's about putting it together. It's now to see if Sark's Alabama-ish and, you know, even USC mindset has translated to the players, because I think that's the difference. If he get them to think like that and play like that and embrace the pressure and not crumble with it, I think they're going to have a pretty good year.
Quan Cosby with us. Quan, you played receiver at Texas, of course, and into the NFL. That's the big question marker. You've seen these guys on the practice field and up close on the sidelines. Do you feel good about the Jordan Whittington, Troy O'Meary, Josh Moore, this young kid Xavier Woods? Do you feel like that position can be a strength, or are you concerned like everyone else?
No, I get everybody's concerns. However, I really do think it could be a strength. Those guys all have a little bit different skill sets that – it's awesome for a Sark kind of run offense. He's innovative enough to find ways to feature these guys. I think that was a deal, even going back to Bijan Robinson at running back. We just didn't see anyone truly feature. Heck, we didn't even know what the identity of the offense was for the last 8 years. And so now I think between those coaching changes and these guys being hungry and how much they've worked, all I've heard from, you know, the guys, tough or anybody, is these guys are working. They're working hard. They know what they're against, and they want to win and prove everything right. They're tired of changing coaches, and they're fired up about the development perspective of what they have now. So, yeah, man, I think the receivers can be really good. And, again, when featured and when there's actually a plan out there for them to get better. And, by the way, let's throw in, it's amazing to me. I would argue Jared Wiley has, like, 35 yards a catch, and then we don't see him get a catch for two games. So if something's working, then you have the Jimmys and Joes out there. Now it's just a matter of coming up with a game plan to really let them excel. And I think we have coaches now that will do that.
Juan Cosby, QC, we appreciate it, my friend. Good stuff right there, and we'll check in soon as camp begins and the actual football side of the Longhorns gets going here in a few days. Thank you, Juan.
I appreciate it, man, y'all. Hook 'em.
Juan Cosby, good stuff. Inside stories from Tyler last week with Chris Del Conte in the room, Kevin Eltife, Jay Hartzell, and an award for the Board of Regents chair, and a lot of excitement about the move to the SEC and Jay Hartzell's steady leadership there and the Longhorns. You know, I heard a stat. It was actually on Light the Tower, Zay, this week. Jeff Howe had the stat. They added it up that last year the Longhorns had 13 different players with 10 or more targets. 13, which, you know, you could say that was a deep receiver core and tight end and running backs. I mean, that's everybody, but meaning targeted with throws. 13 different. At Alabama, with some of the best players in the country, the number for Steve Sarkisian players with 10 or more targets in the season, I think the number was 7 or 8. Maybe it's 8, which, I mean, look, I think we're going to see a whole different mindset where Steve Sarkisian's going to, you know, go back to me normalcy, where you pick your best players. And if not injured, you feature your best players on a series-by-series basis. You're not rotating. One of the reasons you get 13 different guys with that many targets is you're rotating guys all the time. And I still, to this day, do not understand what the philosophy was behind that, Zay, of, you know, this series, it's this group, this series, it's this group. I mean, that seems to fly in the face of smart football, in my opinion. Steve Sarkisian had some of the best players in the country and stuck to him, and yet 400 touches last year for Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, and who was the other wide receiver? John Michie was there. I mean, 400 touches between those three guys. Feature your best players. Don't make it too complicated.
Yeah, and I know when you look at Alabama players over the years, sometimes the question would be, are these guys, you know, used? Too used, kind of like
overused.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you look at Mark Ingram now, who's basically out the league. Well, I know he's having another run.
Texans.
Oh man,
Texans
basically out the league. But yeah, I'm with you, E. You got to put your best players out there, and like you know, the guy who calls into the blitz all the time, number 5, needs to get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I just I do think Texas has some alphas on offense that need to be featured, And I think that was a puzzling situation for everybody last year. And it wasn't just receiver. I mean, Texas did it at every position. I mean, they did it in the defensive backfield where they would rotate corners. I mean, they rotated. It was just such an odd thing. And I don't know if you're trying to make everybody happy in your locker room or if you're fulfilling promises that you've made to people that, you know, everybody gets to play. But, you know, Tom Herman came in talking about it was a meritocracy and you had to earn your spot. And I just remember, you know, last year because of COVID, we didn't get to go to do our pregame show. So Rod Babers and Brad Kellner and I did the online digital watch party, right, where we would watch the game. And every game, Rod Babers would about lose his mind, that he just didn't understand that if I'm the number one corner, I'm the number one corner. That means I've earned the spot, and I'm not coming off the field unless I need a blow or I'm hurt. I mean, I'm on the field. That's what I do. I mean, that's conventional smart football. And, you know, so I think the concern for Texas going into camp later in the week is, you know, depth at the wide receiver position. If you suffer a couple of injuries, you're going to be, I think, in a problem way. But if you can stay healthy at that position, I think Jordan Whittington has a chance to be a real, real star in this offense. I think Troy O'Meary has a chance. You just hear players gush about his athletic ability and his ability to go up and make catches in traffic and at his size and what he can bring to the table. And then there's Bijan Robinson. There's Keelan Robinson at running back. There's Roschon Johnson. There are players, right? And I know they have to find a quarterback, Zay, but Steve Sarkisian, wherever he's been, has shown that he will ride his best players and he will feature his best players and feature what they do best with schemes to get them the ball in space, to create opportunities for them. Everybody in the world knew Devontae Smith was going to get the ball last year, yet they still found a way to scheme him and get him the ball against really good SEC defenses. You can't just let teams take your best players away. You have to force the issue. Something I really like about Steve Sarkisian and his ability to design offense. And I also go back, I always go back to this with Alabama last year. And Sark does feel like it's going to be that way because he brought Jeff Banks with him from Alabama to be the special teams coach. You know, Devontae Smith was on the special teams last year. He won the Heisman Trophy, and he's down there covering kick punt returns, as a gunner. Najee Harris is on the kick coverage. Now, you know, if he gets hurt, you're going to be criticized, but, you know, Nick Saban has a firm belief you get your best players on the field. And you breed competition that way. And I think you're going to see more of that here at Texas. And I do, as Quan has said many, many times with us, you know, Quan stood on the sidelines for every game the entire Tom Herman era as the sideline reporter. And, you know, they have players. They have dudes. They have guys. Put them in position, coach them up, and go be a factor in this Big 12. We have a number 18 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. We come back, more special guests to come. We've got Salacious Gossip and your Blitz before the end of the hour. And coming back, we're going to talk to a true American hero, an absolute American patriot and hero, and our friend Dakota Meyer will join us. And we're going to be working with Dakota this weekend out of Coke Fest. We'll tell you why coming up. Also, Salacious Gossip and your Blitz. It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital on a Wednesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, that is right. The countdown is on. Texas football 31 days, the first weekend of actual college football, will be in 24 days. 24 days, the zero week. A lot out there. Big conversations this morning. The shakeup in college athletics. One of the things we'll get into after our blitz at the top of the hour into the next hour is the Quinn Ewers decision to skip his senior season at South Lake Carroll and head to Ohio State. Interesting. And I know that it was interesting. Blake Brockermeyer, the former Longhorn, whose sons are now going to go to Alabama, he has recently been hired on as an analyst for 24/7 Sports. And Blake is going to be a guest with Jeff Howe today at 11:30, talking Texas football and the state of college football. And I know when Quinn Ewers made that decision, Blake had an interesting tweet talking about how that Ohio State quarterback room is going to be wrecked with four freshmen in the room. Quinn Ewers now is going to join that. You know, they've got four heralded, and they're all listed as freshmen. Quinn Ewers, I guess, will be a super freshman, I guess, because he's got to finish up one English class, and then he can enroll at Ohio State, I guess. But they also have three other young quarterbacks there. It'll be interesting to hear Blake Brockermeyer's perspective on that. Of course, he lives up in the Metroplex now and has followed that Quinn Ewers story pretty closely. He'll be on with Jeff Howe at 11:30 today as part of our Horn Top 20 countdown coverage of the Texas Longhorns, who are coming in at number 18 in our countdown. Let me just say, you know, the Quinn Ewers thing is interesting in how it's going to evolve. He had one English class to take. And I know Riley Dodge, the head coach at South Lake Carroll, has put out a statement saying we'll move forward, the Dragons will be fine. But Quinn Ewers, the number one prospect in the country. Now, I remember when Bryce Harper did this. Now, is there similarities here for you, Zay, when Bryce Harper opted out of his senior year of high school out in Las Vegas, entered into a junior college, and his whole goal was to speed up his path to Major League Baseball, which, of course, it's worked out pretty nicely for Bryce Harper. I do think these are isolated cases where the young person has gotten their coursework done, their credits are done, they have the ability, because most seniors can't opt out. They got to finish high school. So that they can qualify and be eligible to play in college. But Quinn Ewers, got enough of his core credits done ahead of time. And a story I read said he was taking, college classes through the summer trying to get ahead of things. And, that's his opportunity. What do you make of Quinn Ewers saying, I'm just going to go to Ohio State?
It's very interesting. I feel like the UIL is a big reason why he's doing this with the restrictions that they give on NIL. So it makes sense for him to leave at this point with how much money he's about to make.
I know. I mean, he says he can make up to seven figures. But again, it is such a changing face of college athletics. I mean, once you open the door to do what I think is right, which they should have been incrementally adding to all along, to make it more of a fair policy, instead they've just opened the floodgates, and here come the ramifications. And Quinn Ewers won't play for a state title at South Lake Carroll this year. He will get to Columbus and begin working towards being the Ohio State quarterback. But yes, you look at that quarterback room, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
I saw Cade Klubnik is now number one, huh?
Cade Klubnik at Westlake is now the number one quarterback in the nation, who is going to Clemson, of course, and he plans to play and try to defend that state title for Westlake and Todd Dodge, which we'll certainly cover here on the Horn as they move forward. All right, so let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. We'll get back to the Longhorns and our Horn Top 20 countdown. We'll get to the Salacious Gossip and the Blitz, but really delighted to bring to the show a good friend and a true hero, a true American hero. He is a Medal of Honor recipient, a U.S. Marine, was honored with that Medal of Honor for his actions during the Battle of Gangai in Afghanistan back in 2009. But now he lives here in Central Texas. He's doing great things. He's our friend Dakota Meyer. Dakota, how are you?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. You still working overnights as the fire department there?
I do. I had a shift on Monday and...
Yeah, absolutely. Just trying to do what I can do.
Now, last time we had you in, we love when you come in studio, but you just love serving people and doing things the right way. I mean, your service is appreciated, and obviously what you did to earn the Medal of Honor, the second youngest living Medal of Honor recipient for your actions. But at the same time, here you are living in Central Texas and still serving.
Yes, sir. And we're going to be going out to Coke Fest. So we started the Dash IV, so we'll be out at Coke Fest this weekend.
Yeah, man.
Hopefully everybody stops by, and I look forward to seeing you out there.
Yeah, man, we're going to hang out. So Coke Fest is this weekend. That's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on and talk about it. Coke Fest is this weekend, Friday and Saturday. It's going to be hot. It's out in Hutto. We've got bands all day, big crowds. And you and our buddy David have started the Dash IV, and this is a bus that provides hydration services for people, right? The hydration packs, and you guys are going to be parked out there at the inside the gates at Coke Fest, so folks who are going to attend can get it. I love the fact that you'll be a part of that, and everybody that works on the Dash IV bus is either a first responder of some kind, right? They're EMS or firefighter who provides the service for folks to stay hydrated during events like Coke Fest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a hot weekend, and everybody's walking around consuming and having a great time out there. So, make sure to stop by the Dash IV, the bus. We'll be over there. It's all everybody who's on it is first responders, whether they're EMS or firefighters. So come by. We'll be offering two separate IVs, and just to make your time more enjoyable, and definitely make the recovering more enjoyable.
Yeah, and I know that we've been told by the experts, and you know this, that most of us do walk around dehydrated by technical term, right? We don't drink enough water, we're not hydrated enough, and certainly you drop some Bud Lights on top of that, and the hot temperatures and the humidity we're dealing with. What was the idea, what was the genesis for you with this Dash IV that you've started? It's a mobile IV service on a beautiful, normal, it looks like a tour bus that you guys have wrapped. But what was the idea, where did the idea come from to bring this online, Dakota?
Honestly, we again, like you said, most people are most of us are walking around every single day underhydrated, And, you know, just to be able to go to events like this, I mean, I like being around people and just being able to be with the crowds and being able to talk to people, and then also be able to provide, you know, the being able to provide their needs or being able to provide hydration to, or being able to help with their hydration is always a key to being able to help the community. I mean, it's, you know, it's a way to be able to connect and be able to provide a service for what everybody out there is looking for.
Yeah, the Dash IV, there's a website called the-iv.com. You can learn more. It's your fuel stop to the path to optimization, and it's going to be a great thing. It'll be out at Coke Fest this weekend. You guys will be out there both days, all day, right? And the first responders will be there, so if you're in need of some hydration, it's a great way. You sit down. How long? Well, you know, to get a full IV takes like 15, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, you know, probably like 20 minutes, you know, come by. We do the larger bags, 1,000 ml bags. So, you know, to make sure that you can get as much hydration as possible. So, yeah, come by. We'll have all the first responders there. We'll be there from 3 till midnight both days. So, yeah, come by. You can't miss us. You won't be able to miss us. As soon as you walk through the gate, you'll turn left. You won't miss the bus at all. So make sure to stop by, check us out, come take a picture, say what's up.
Dakota Meyer is with us, an American patriot for sure, U.S. Marine Medal of Honor recipient for his heroics in Afghanistan, and now bringing online the Dash IV. And, you know, the bus, we're going to get used to it, right? We're going to be working together in football season and road trips and wherever you guys are needed. You guys, the ability to be mobile is going to be great for us here at the Horn as well, come football season and the big tailgate season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be, we're just getting started. So if you miss us at Coke Fest, then just, you know, keep tuning in and we'll let you know where we're going to be next.
That's exactly right. Dakota, what else are you up to? I know you got a book coming out and, you're still doing the podcast and, you don't really slow down very often. I know that.
No, absolutely not. So I got a book coming out hopefully at the end of this year. It's called The Way Forward. I wrote it with Robert O'Neill, the guy that killed Bin Laden. So just a great friend, incredible friend. We kind of, in the book, what we did is I call it humanizing what war was, right? And what it did. And just like, it's just the way forward, right? Like, you know, you talk about a world right now that is just, it's getting it handed to them left and right. You know, we never know what's next. I mean, it's just all these unknowns of the factors of the hand that we're getting dealt. You know, you can't choose the hand that you're dealt, but you can choose how you play it, right? And that's kind of what the book's about. It's more about just the way forward, as the title is. It's how do you, you know, we're all caught up right now in what, you know, complaining about the hand that we're dealt instead of trying to come together and, you know, figure out how we're going to play it together, right? You know, everybody in this world's going through something, and you know, we all choose to either relate or not relate, and that's kind of what the book's about, is how we've found ways to get past what, you know, what challenges life's dealt us, but to be able to go out and try to, you know, live a life that's worthy of living
and still serve your community, which you are doing very well. Dakota Meyer, look for him at Coke Fest this weekend. If you're out there, huge crowds expected, but a lot of high temperatures. Go check out that Dash IV. Get yourself rehydrated and hydrated if you need to. It's a, you don't want anybody, you know, dealing with heat related issues while you're out there at Coke Fest. So that's where they'll be. Hey, Dakota, appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you and hanging out this weekend and having a cold one and getting an IV.
You're going to come by and get an IV, right?
You know it. You know it.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Can't wait to see you.
All right, Dakota. Thanks, bud. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Dakota Meyer. Good guy. And that is a cool, you know, Zay, we've teased the idea of we may have some rolling transportation to some Texas road games this year, maybe even up to the Texas OU game. And I can blow the lid on that. The Dash IV bus, which you're going to see, it's going to make its debut at Coke Fest. They're going to be partnering with us on tailgate events and Schultz Garden, potentially, with what we do down there. And, of course, you know, Texas OU weekend, Coke, you know, other Texas, you know, big Texas country festivals and things of that nature. But Dakota's a good guy, an absolute hero. Look forward to that book coming out and look forward to hanging out with him this weekend. But look for it and get to know it, because we're going to be using that. You ever gotten an IV, Zay, like that, a Dash IV? Or I did it once. We had a member guest at the at Onion Creek recently, and I, after the long day of golf on Friday and early morning Saturday, I went and did a little IV. It was great. It's great. You just take 20 minutes. And you, boy, I tell you, when you feel the effects of it is later in the day when you don't wear down and you don't, you just have this burst of energy later because your body's, you know, full on fluids. And, it really is a good situation, especially if you're going to be, you know, having the drinks and enjoying the Texas country music. Make sure you check out Dash IV this weekend. You ever do that?
I have not, but I might have to check it out in Hutto this weekend when I make my trip to Coke Fest.
Oh, you're coming. You're coming. We'll be there. We'll go over and hang out. And I love it that Dakota and his team, it's all first responders, every one of them that's volunteering their time to be a part of that Dash IV bus. They're either an EMS worker or a firefighter like Dakota is out. Dakota's a Marble Falls firefighter. He's out there serving the community. So we'll get to meet him at Coke Fest this weekend. So good stuff right there. Hey, real quick. So we can let people know we're at number 18 in our countdown to number one.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 18, the Texas Longhorns.
All right, there it is, the Longhorns, Texas Fights at number 18 in our countdown to number one. We have them as the third team in the Big 12. You know, can they get there? I think most people have Oklahoma as the one seed in the Big 12, the team to beat as the defending champions six times in a row. Iowa State in the mix. They were in that Big 12 title game 1 year ago, lost by 6 points in that game, and they think they're back and better and even more veteran this year with Matt Campbell and a great challenger to Iowa State or to Oklahoma in the Big 12. The question for Texas, can they be that third team and then can they upset that apple cart? Ari Temkin from the Big 12 Today Show on Sirius XM was with us in the 6 o'clock hour. He's actually picked Texas to finish second in the Big 12, thinks they can unseat Iowa State. And boy, wouldn't that be something if what if we get to December and Texas were playing Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game as both are headed off to the SEC whenever they can get out. And if Bob Bowlesby has to oversee a championship game that would feature those two teams, that would be some ripe stuff for sure.
Oh, man. You know I love petty. That would be the pettiest game of all time. They would probably – it wouldn't even get Big 12 refs. They would probably get SEC refs to keep it more petty.
No, it says overrated. Look, I understand. You know, we've had a good debate. Should they even be ranked? I was on the side of no, as a matter of fact. And we had our Horn Roundtable, and Brad Kellner asked the question, should Texas be in the top 20? My side of it was no, until proven otherwise. I think you got to earn that right. I know it's speculative. I like some of the pieces, but, you know, for me, when you start ranking teams, it's about checking boxes and which teams check the most boxes and come with the fewest questions. I mean, Texas has a lot of questions. I mean, it starts and ends at quarterback. There's a brand new coaching staff at all phases. You got new starters on the offensive line. You've got, who's going to step up and become your go-to wide receivers. There are some things you like, but there's still a lot of questions. So I would rank them just outside the top 20 at this point, and I think they got to prove that they're worthy. But this is where they ended up in our poll. So we have them at 18. We'll take your thoughts on that. Coming back, it's only as good as you make it. Load up a Wednesday Bucky List Blitz. We know we need to hear from you. What say you on this Wednesday morning at 447-3776? Also a little salacious gossip. It's B&E with you.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, man, Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. The number one light beer on the planet is the ice-cold Bud Light. And as we talked about with Dakota Meyer, plenty of Bud Lights out at Coke Fest this weekend. Two great days, as Dakota said, 3 to midnight. They'll be there with the Dash IV. That's how it rolls both days with great bands, Texas country music, Coe Wetzel, Aaron Watson, Pat Green, Kevin Fowler. The list goes on and on. Just a great, great lineup for both days. Packed houses expected. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be safe, we'll be smart, but we'll do it with an ice-cold Bud Light over the 2 days of Coke Fest. Also, the Bud Light seltzers, whatever your flavor might be. And football season is right around the corner. So many Bud Light opportunities for sure. Today is indeed, Isaiah Collier, the 28th anniversary, August the 4th, when Robin Ventura made the dreaded decision to charge our man Nolan Ryan. What's he thinking? What's he thinking? I love this, that when he was inducted into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame, when he was 51 years old, Robin Ventura was asked about that. Do you remember the fight? And his quote was, "Some things don't work out for you, I guess." Oh, he still can chuckle about it. Nolan still laughs about it. You know, And Nolan Ryan would tell you, having spent some time with the Ryan family, he gets asked about that incident more than anything else in his career. I mean, the guy pitched for 30 years. He threw seven no-hitters. He's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But when he meets somebody, or everyone asks about the fight with Robin Ventura.
Because it wouldn't seem like he would throw down like that. That's why. It doesn't seem like that would come out of him.
Well, he's a cattle rancher, man. He's a rancher.
Yeah, he's tough.
He's a tough hombre, man. As Nolan has told us on this show, he was a rancher before he was a baseball player. He bought his first cow when he was like 10 years old, and then has been raising cattle ever since. But yeah, that was just a bad move. Just a bad move. And the video is still, you know, like some songs or movies maintain, like they're still as good today as they were back then. That's the same with my man Nolan Ryan and the beatdown of Robin Ventura. Let me see if I watch this again. Here he goes. All right, little chin music, hit it up in the shoulder. Robin thought about it for a second, throws the helmet down, and then proceeded to get his ass whipped. I mean, that's just how that went. He rode him like a pony. Bang, bang.
Yeah, once another grown man gets you in the headlock, that's about it.
And a strong old man. Strong old man got him. Old man strong right there. Country strong, for sure. But yes, that was, it's hard to believe. I'm 48 now, so I was 20 years old when that happened. And I still remember it. It was back when SportsCenter was hot. That was such a great thing. Pretty good. All right, so it got really ugly last night, speaking of baseball. So the Astros made their first trip back to L.A. to play the Dodgers with fans in attendance. Did you see this last night, Zay? This got ugly. People throwing trash cans. I mean, the fans in L.A. who believe the World Series of 2017 was stolen from them by the Astros. This thing got ugly last night. So they were throwing stuff at guys in the bullpen. And most of the guys on this roster weren't even on the team when this happened, but they're having to deal with it. It was pretty ugly last night in Los Angeles. Astros won the game 3-0, but it was the largest crowd of the year, live crowd to see a game. Almost 53,000 fans at Dodger Stadium packed in to just boo and heckle and relentlessly jeer the Astros. I'd agree they probably deserve it, but at the same time, it got a little ugly when stuff starts getting thrown onto the field.
Yeah, until the Astros get rid of everybody from that World Series squad, I don't think people will stop booing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they can shut some people up if they continue, because they're the second odds favorite to win the World Series this year. Now, by all accounts, they're not ceiling signs right now. And if they still have the number one offense in baseball, and they're still among the top teams in baseball, and they beat the Dodgers last night. It was a twist of fate to have Lance McCullers on the mound last night, because he started Game 7 of that World Series that the Astros won in Dodger Stadium. They'll be back at it tonight, and it will be an equally raucous crowd. And tonight will be the debut of Max Scherzer as an L.A. Dodger. He'll make his first start as a Dodger tonight, so that will be pretty, pretty fun. Today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Anything better than a fresh, warm chocolate chip cookie and a glass of milk today? Can you top that?
Not much.
Not much.
I don't drink milk as much as I used to because of the bubblies, but I will eat a chocolate chip cookie from time to time. Probably too many.
My wife makes the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. Her recipe has become legendary. Like, whenever someone's having a party, they request, will you make the cookies? And she makes the cookies.
Yo, your wife throws down. Those cupcakes were serious.
She likes to bake. Today is National White Wine Day as well. Are you a white wine fan, Zay?
Nah, you know I don't drink.
Oh, that's right. You're not a drinker at all.
If I were to drink, I think I'd be a red guy, though.
Red wine, okay. All right. That's some friends of mine on hot days drink white wine on ice. White wine on ice. Oh, yeah.
Moscato?
They put ice in it. I don't know. I don't drink white wine. I drink Bud Light. Y'all know that. All right. So there we go. There's your salacious gossip on this August the 4th. It also is the birthday of Lance Armstrong, or Louis Armstrong, Barack Obama, Billy Bob Thornton, Roger Clemens. Is 59 today as well. Speaking of all-time pitchers, let's get to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Lines are packed. Be nice. First Blitzer, you're up. Hey, Tavo.
¿Qué pasó, Chivato?
What's up, Tavo?
Happy Wednesday. I said, Chivato, you usually let things go from yesterday, but this one I couldn't let go, man. Look, man, I've done a lot of weird stuff in my lifetime, dude. You know, I've gotten fully waxed, right? I haven't done that. You know, but when you go and get the focus point, you go to a massage parlor, for a girl to go after El Ojo de la Marrana, dude, that's the last thing on my mind, dude. At 25 years old, dude, hey, boys, let's go down to a massage parlor. El Ojo de la Marrana.
This is the Deshaun Watson story and the masseuse telling the fetishes of one Deshaun Watson. That was graphic, to say the least. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Jerry Jones. Hey, Davo, come mow my yard for me.
Oh, come on, y'all. Seriously? Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Dodger fan, tell me how my ass tastes.
Oh, man, Astros got the shutout last night, 3-0 amid the boos. You can tell the Astros are kind of wearing it as a – they're uniting around it because it's relentless wherever they go. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Well, bye.
Well, bye. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
So, the L.A. last night didn't bang trash cans, didn't steal signs, and they still put their foot in the Dodgers' ass. Priceless.
Priceless. Priceless. 3-0. Max Scherzer tonight. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Suck it, Dodgers. Go Stros! Go Stros!
Love it. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Now, you ain't a real man unless you have raw Rocky Mountain oysters throwing a no-hitter.
Oh.
Now, this is Nolan Ryan.
This is Nolan Ryan. Did he say raw Rocky Mountain oysters? That's too much. That's over the top. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, this is Philip Rivers. Hold on. Hey, you guys get down there. Hey, are you guys hiring at the Horn? I need a job really bad. These kids are getting on my nerves.
Yeah, Philip Rivers, he's ready to come back out of retirement. He's been home for, 6 months. He's used to going off to training camp about now. He's like, oh, my gosh, 11 kids later. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Vince Young. Yeah, hey, shame on the Buck. I mean, another day off. I mean, how many times is that guy not going to come to work?
Yeah, he'll be out rest of the week. I know that. He's going to Pennsylvania. He's out of the state now. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, to the fighting Lasordas of L.A., put a diaper on it and suck on it.
There you go. Well done. Well done.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Yeah, Dodgers did win the World Series a year ago, and they're in the mix this year. But that was a fun game last night. Unfortunately, it didn't start until after 9 o'clock. So you had to stay up late, and I'm a little dreary today. I fell asleep watching that game last night. But back at it tonight. They're also the Olympics. We'll recap. Good day for Team USA. Continue to do well in the track and field events. And women's basketball rolling. Are they going to go double gold there again? We'll get to it. Plus, Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, meeting with the Pac-12 commissioner yesterday. We'll tell you what they talked about. Also, Tom Gimbel has our live music update on a Wednesday as we drag you up over the hump on a busy week. First week of August 2021. Rolling back. Live, local, and digital. Always there for you on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And we are always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.